sent forth to preach. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 5. The Apostle Paul says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There were no modern transport or communication system during Paul's days, like the ease of transportation and communication we have today. He went mostly on foot, having to cover large distances amidst physical toil and weariness to preach the gospel to the Gentile world. The Apostle Paul and his companion Barnabas were sent by the church in Antioch to preach the gospel." Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 to 3 gives us this account. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." The Apostle Paul described the feet of those who carries the gospel to the unsaved as beautiful because it carries the beauty of God's holiness to the sin-stricken with reference to the ministry of Jesus Christ. The apostle or the prophet Isaiah wrote those words pointing to the coming of Christ more than 600 years earlier. We today look backwards in time to the finished work of Christ in his life and in his death to receive true joy and peace. So Isaiah 52 verse 7 was the verse that the Apostle Paul quoted, Isaiah 52. And verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." God continues to send men and women forth to preach the gospel. May God raise men and women to carry the torch of the gospel in this generation and in the generation to come. We are laborers with God. May the gospel be preached to all men, and let it be preached to all men with no distinction of race. Paul says in verse 12 of Romans chapter 10, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. All who will hearken to the gospel's call shall be saved." And dear friends, do you know that Christianity is man's only hope? This gospel, this Bible, this word that we preach, do you know that it is man's only hope? Well, the Lord wants us to realize it for ourselves and to therefore have that urgency and to have that understanding of the gravity of the task that is before us. The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones observed well. He says, "I say this because this gospel is the only hope in the world today. Everything else has been tried and found wanting. Everything else has failed. You will not find hope with philosophers or with statesmen. You will not find it in the so-called religion of the world. Here is hope, and hope alone. The world look for counselors. Well, where is the best counsel? The best counsel is from the Word of God. And what is the best counsel? Where do you find the best counsel? Well, from pastors, teachers that God has raised who are faithful to the Word of God. The gospel is personally and powerfully declared by our Lord during His earthly ministry. Amidst the toil, the physical toil, He spared no effort but covered the grounds to help the people. He saw the sad plight of the people without hope and help, and He urged His disciples to pray that the Holy Spirit would move men and women who will be willing to be sent forth to preach the gospel to the fainted and scattered multitude." Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Our Lord Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Jesus sets the example. He went to the villages, the cities in Israel. Men and women found real peace with God. And men, through the gospel, what great news! May the Lord God raise laborers with a willing and prepared heart and send them forth to the harvest. Dear friends, God certainly will raise men and women for His harvest field. And the Apostle Paul is describing for us how beautiful, how valuable, how eternally impacting is this work of the gospel. To be involved in the soul-winning industry, to be involved in the soul-winning work. Well, the Lord wants us to see that this is a work that has eternal purpose and eternal value, and that He has given the commission to the entire church to fulfill it. How are you participating in the gospel work through prayer, through preaching, through your giving, through your time, through your participating in the effort of evangelism. Well, the church has its beginnings when Paul was sent forth, and you see this in the appendix of your notes, the first missionary journey, Acts 13 verse 1 to Acts 14 verse 28, and how you see missionaries are sent forth in a biblical pattern. What is the biblical pattern? Well, we say here the first principle that can be gleaned from the first missionary journey is that the missionary is church-based. Saul served as a teacher at the church in Antioch, preaching the word of God until the call came. When he ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, the director of missions, said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Paul described his calling thus in Romans 1, verse 1 to 5. Remember when we begin the study of this book of Romans, this was the words that was described here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the good news of God, for he promised before through his holy prophets. Well, the Lord describes for us and speaks to us, right, by his mercy, right, showed to us who he is, Paul says, which hath promised afore of his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, and by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Separate, Acts 13 verse 2 says, this command, this Greek imperative, by the Holy Spirit, not an option, a privilege to be God's chosen vessel to carry his promises to the lost world. And it was a one-time event in Paul's life when he was set apart. Romans 1 verse 1 says to us how he was separated unto the gospel. He was separated. He was set apart. Dear friends, how can we be set apart? Well, only God can set us apart, granting us his grace for this work. And so this man, Paul, was set apart. And he was, as it were, a passive party in the act of this act of separation. That's the literary, the grammar that is given there. Right? It was God who decreed his call, making his mandate a divine one, carrying with it divine seal and authority. So Paul says, grace and apostleship, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. It's from God. And this is described in Romans 15 and verse 15 to 16. Romans 15 and verse 15 to 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, and putting you in mind because of the grace that was given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Truly, the Apostle Paul has nothing to boast of himself, because it is by the grace of God that he was given the apostolic office. Nothing he could have worked or strived for, and nothing he could give an inkling of credit to himself. This separation was a confirmation of what the Lord Jesus promised Saul when he prayed in the temple in Acts 22:21. Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. This was the Lord's commission for him. Again, in the epistle to the Galatians, it is written, Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through men, but through Jesus Christ and the Father, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And so the apostle Paul was to show forth for obedience of faith among all nations for his name's sake. The purpose for which Paul was appointed was to bring about obedience of faith. Such obedience is based on faith and springs from faith. The step of faith is also a daily guidance as Paul yields daily to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's led in the Spirit-led missionary journey to fulfill the gospel beyond the borders of Judea and Samaria, going to the uttermost parts of the earth. The revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and leads us and guides us to do his bidding, to do his good work of preaching the gospel. And we thank God that, you know, your being energized by God to want to go out for evangelism is from God. It's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. So Paul says, testified of his labor in the work that God has called him to do. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which has bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He revealed that it was the grace of God which was with him that enabled him to labor more abundantly than all the others. What is this grace of God that made him an apostle par excellence? For example, today, the phrase grace of God is first used to describe our Lord Jesus as a child. How that child in Luke 2 verse 40 grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Matthew Henry said, Jesus was greatly beloved and high in the favor of God, that God loved him and cherished him and took particular care upon him. And Matthew Henry again rightly observed, truly, Jesus was filled with wisdom, not by any advantages of instruction and education, but by the operation of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to teach us, that we may understand the Scriptures, we may be given the true wisdom from God. The grace of God was appropriated at the throne of grace through the prayer support of the sending church. You see, the church was praying for, Antioch was praying for Paul and Barnabas in all his missionary journeys. He did not go alone, but he had the backing of his church. Paul and Barnabas, speaking boldly, gave testimony unto the word of grace in Acts 14, verse 3. It is by preaching and teaching of the word of God that grace comes upon the people. And the Lord wants us to know. And Paul and Barnabas, at the conclusion of his work, of their work, reported back to the church at Antioch, where they had first been entrusted to the grace of God for the work that they had now accomplished. Acts 14, verse 26. So at the close of the first missionary journey, they returned to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So the Antioch church supported their missionaries by fasting and prayer. Acts 13, verse 3. The grace of God is not aimlessly sent without a destination, but it is to be upon his servant and enabled him to boldly declare the word of God. More than that, it enabled him to endure the rigors of mission in which he was being sent. Paul and Barnabas traveled on foot for over 1,200 miles. The distance traveled in the first missionary journey was well researched by Scroggie, how it was 636 miles outward and 601 miles inward. And they were persecuted by the Jews, who stirred up the people, and how there was so much persecution that went on. But what did they do? Well, they went on with evangelizing the unsaved, with edifying the believers, and establishing local churches. These churches were established when the gospel was being preached. The call to the missionary task was given to Saul and Barnabas in the first missionary journey that lasted 2.5 years, from AD 47 to AD 49, described in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to Acts chapter 14, verse 28. This was God's assessment of their work. They fulfilled the task which was assigned unto them, and at Antioch, they showed accountability to the sending church. In Acts 14, verse 27, when they had arrived and had gathered the assembly together, they reported all the things that God had done with them, and that they had opened a door of faith to the nations. It was a glorious statement for God to open a door of faith to the nations, for the preaching of the gospel to the conversion of souls in Cyprus, in Asia Minor. Truly, missions is a work of faith by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is the principle that is taught here. This is the door opened by Christ, revealed by the Holy Spirit, and accomplished by taking the step of faith. Indeed, Paul says, how beautiful are the feet of those who will be willing to be sent of God, willing to endure by the hardship, grace of God kept them. The church in of Philadelphia was given an open door. It is said here in Revelation 3, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. This door was kept open for those with a little strength, who have faithfully kept Jesus' words. With a little strength. In other words, to know that strength comes from God, you see, that we have no strength of our own. This principle of the open door for missionaries has the above three criteria. First, the willingness of the person called of God, having a little strength and holding on to God's inerrant and preserved word as his only guide for doctrine and practice, and in action does not deny the name of Christ. Paul and Barnabas were not independent missionaries, but were church-based missionaries. After they have completed the work that God has entrusted to them, they returned to the church at Antioch in Syria and abode there a long time. Acts 14 verse 28. In this first missionary journey, by the preaching of the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, men turned to God and organized into local churches throughout Cyprus and Asia Minor, where they have visited. We thank the Lord that today He still sends men and women out. Paul says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that that Thou, the Lord of harvest, that Thou would send forth laborers into Thy harvest. Truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we, being laborers with God, Father, we pray that Thou wouldst give in the hearts of some this vision of lost souls and the willingness to come forward. As Isaiah the prophet says, here am I, Lord, send me. May Thou bless the gospel work in these last days for Thy own honor, for Thy own glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.